Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's amazing to me how much knowledge we have. It's on the internet, it's in books. There's so much information in this day and age. And yet, we lack in so many areas. We all know that seatbelts save lives. But I have a friend right here in Door County. When I sat in the car with her, she took her seatbelt and held it. And I asked her, did she think that as she was flying out the windshield that holding the seatbelt was going to do any good? Now, I know this is an intelligent person. I know that she has all the information at her disposal, and yet she insists that it won't happen to her. We know that helmets save lives. How many calls have I heard from people who were biking or motorcycling that were not wearing helmets? Now, there's a few, even in our congregation, who think that having a helmet in their basket as they're riding their motorcycle is going to do some good. You know who you are. I won't have to call you out. We think that because the information is out there, it's going to do us good even when we do not access it. And I'm just as guilty. I have all the information on the food pyramid. I know what's healthy and what's not, but when I grab the bag of chips, I'm not paying attention. I'm not accessing that information for myself, but I know it's out there. We have all sorts of wonderful information, but do we access it? And that's what these scriptures are about today. The disciples had all sorts of wonderful information about Jesus. They knew he was a great miracle worker. They knew all about him, or so they spoke, they thought, until he gave them one more thing. And that's when some disciples said, "That's too much." He said, "You have to take me on." Now, when he said, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood," when we listen to that, it sounds really gross. I remember one person when I chose a hymn that said, "There is a fountain filled with blood," went, "Ew." When we think of that, it really sounds gross. But the people in that day and age would have understood what he was talking about. Because when an animal was sacrificed to a god, and the people then sat down to eat that sacrificial meal, the idea was that the god had somehow gone into that meal. And so when they were eating, they were partaking of God. Now, Jesus was speaking in a metaphor. What he meant was that you have to take his life into yourself, that we have to what we call abide or live with God and the very life of God. It's the same metaphor that we see in Ephesians when Paul says that we should take on the armor of God. In other words, clothe yourselves with the life and the love and the grace of Christ. We have all the graces at our disposal. And yet if they just sit there like my Bible on a shelf, or if we read a book about prayer but never pray. We have our daily text and we don't open it. We have all the resources of grace and we don't avail ourselves to it. And then we wonder when we get into trouble why we don't have any foundation. You see, it's not enough to hear about it. It's not enough to read about it. What Christ offers us is a tremendous gift that we can actually live in him. and that each time we pray, we have an opportunity to connect on a level that's not just talking, but of being with someone. It's like a wonderful marriage. When people are good for each other, you understand that they're good apart, but when they're with each other, they bring out the best. I remember hearing a reporter talking about a couple. This was a presidential race, and the reporters had unlimited access, but the only thing they were told was at the end of the race, you could report certain things. And so this was a few years back, and this reporter talked about this president on the campaign trail. And he said that he had a tendency, personally, to be very surly. So the campaign staffers loved when his wife came along, because when his wife was present, all the rough edges were smoothed. And there was such grace in that campaign bus. And that's the same type of grace that we have when we access all the graces of God. When we ask him not just to instruct us, but to live in us. That's what Christ offers to us today. It's not just a checklist of this is what you do and this is what you don't do. It's living fully in the grace and the peace and the joy of God. So for all of us in this modern age who have so much information, I challenge us to access the stuff that's really important in our modern lives, like helmets and diets. But I challenge us more to access all the grace that God has for us in his word, in our prayers, in our day-to-day walk. He wants to live in us. That's the challenge for the church this morning. Let's not just hear about it. Let's live it. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for the means of grace that you have given to us. I thank you that when we pray a simple grace at mealtime, you are with us. I thank you that when we say our prayers at bedtime, you are with us. I thank you that when we are in trouble, you are with us. I thank you that you have offered to us all the peace, all the joy, all the serenity that comes in knowing you. And I ask that this week you would help us access all the means of grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand and turn with me to hymn number 607, I Am Thine, O Lord.